Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد Once again, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're continuing from ayah number 164 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And just as a brief reminder from last week, the last ayat that we covered were ayat about hiding the revelation. Those who were given the responsibility and they had the revelation, they were supposed to carry it to others and they didn't do their job, and the curse that they incurred on themselves as a result. And even at the end of all of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now the subject switches a little bit, and it's a really interesting switch. On the one hand, there are people who know what the truth is because they were exposed to revelation and they had knowledge of revelation, and then they still didn't benefit from it. But even if there was no exposure to revelation, somebody could argue, well, they hid the book, so I never got the message. That's why it's not my fault that I didn't come to Islam. So the next ayat actually addressed that issue, that whether you came into contact with revelation or not, revelation itself, we call them, the smallest unit of revelation is the ayat. Right? The ayat of revelation. Well, Allah says, well, there's a different kind of ayat also. There's an entire set of different ayat that are all around you. If the ayat of revelation weren't enough to give you, or never got to you, or were hidden away from you, that still doesn't excuse the rest of humanity. They still had the ayat of all of the creation of Allah all around to reflect on, to think about. That was also available to them, and that had been available to them. So look, in Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, certainly, especially when it comes to the creation, especially in the creation of the skies and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and the conflict of the night and day. So there's going to be a list of things. So فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, in the creation of the skies and the earth. Now within that creation, Allah will highlight certain things. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, the conflict, the going back and forth of the night and the day. وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ, and the ships that sail in the midst of the ocean. بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ, with what gives benefit to people. In other words, ships carry huge amounts of cargo that benefit people, that sustain entire economies. You know, there are places in the world whose entire economy is dependent on the ports. You know, and when the ports are taken away and the ports are not accessible, you know, the entire society falls apart because all of the trade, all of the jobs, all of the businesses, all of it is dependent on those ships that are coming through to the ports. So Allah says, بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ, a very brief statement, but it carries an entire like economic principle inside it, you know? And then he says, after بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ, وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ, and what Allah sent down from the sky in terms of water. It's really interesting, the language. We know Allah sends revelation from the sky. But Allah here says there's something else you've been appreciating that is a source of life for you. Just like revelation itself is a source of life. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Respond to Allah and the Messenger as they invite you, or when they invite you, or when He invites you rather, to that which will give you life. Well, something else that Allah sends even before revelation all the time that gives life is the water from the sky. بِمَّاءٍ فَأَحْيَى بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Then it gives life to the earth even after it had died. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. And He spread in this earth all manner of creatures. مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. All kinds of beasts. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ. And even in, this is the fee from the beginning, in the creation of the skies and the earth, the night and day, the ships that sail, then after that the water that Allah sends from the sky, then all kinds of creatures that are spread around the earth, then even the way that the winds change, وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ. Tasrif literally to alternate, change all the time. So winds go this way and that way, they slow down and they speed up and they are hot and they're cold, etc. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ. وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ. And speaking of تَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, something that is in submission to the winds, the clouds that are subdued, بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, between the sky and the earth. In other words, the clouds are a function of the wind. The winds sail them away. They take them on a land and they bring life to that land, that water comes. And then the wind, Allah commands the wind, and those clouds are delivered somewhere else. And those same clouds can be a means of life and they can be a means of death. And Allah has given them a command to stay right between the sky and the earth. بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That in all of these things that you should be looking around and paying attention to, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. There are truly miraculous signs for a nation that wants to understand, that wants to apply their intellect. This is a very, very deep ayah. And its meanings, you can read the translation and move on, and you can reflect upon what it's saying, and it contains in it one of the most powerful realities of our deen. That Allah has sent us a reminder of who He is, not just in the khutbah, not just in the sermons, in the revelation, in the Qur'an, in the ahadith, but the reminder of who Allah is and what our life is supposed to be about has been made basically all around us. You can't escape it. In the entire creation of the skies and the earth, the night and the day, in and of themselves are a sermon, a reminder. You know, we're sitting here and we're in a gathering of a reminder. The imam after the salah may share with you a hadith, a reminder, right? The Messenger ﷺ used to give the people a reminder. And now Allah is saying all of these things are also reminders. They're also signs. They're also lessons. SubhanAllah. All around us. But it's not everybody will benefit from the lessons. Just like in a classroom. There could be students sitting in a classroom, but not everybody sitting in the classroom benefits from what the teacher has to say, right? The same way these signs are all around us, but that doesn't mean all of humanity will benefit from them. Allah put a condition. He didn't just say linnas. He said لِقَوْمٍ. And then He gave them a further qualification, يَعْقِلُونَ, a nation that tries to understand. So let's pay a little bit of attention on this word. This is a very deep word, يَعْقِلُونَ. Shallow translation says they try to understand. But عَقَلَ in Arabic actually literally means to tie something. Like the Arab would say, عَقَلَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ شَعْرَهَا. The woman tied her hair. عَقَل. You know, and then for the camel back in the day, you know, the Arabs would tie the camel with the rope that they had around their head. They wrapped a rope around their head. Nowadays, it's a fashion statement, that cute little rubber thing they wear so the scarf doesn't fly away, right? You've seen that? The original thing was actually a rope. And it wasn't there as for style points. It was actually there because they didn't have anti-lock brakes on their camels. So when they park somewhere, then they get down and they take the iqal off. It was called iqal. And they would take it off and they would tie their camel. In other words, it was a means of control. It was a means of restraint. It's really interesting that in the Arabic language, the intellect is paralleled with something that is a means of restraint and tying down and holding back. And what that signifies is, basically inside of us there are two conflicting forces. You know, in English literature you call it, you know, my heart is saying this, but my mind is saying something else. You know, my heart says go play basketball, my mind says go study for the test. You know what I'm saying? There's two different directions inside you. So you have to tie your emotions down and do the right thing, meaning do what your mind is telling you to do. The person who possesses intellect, according to the ancient Arabs, this is not even an Islamic thing, it's an Arab thing. Like in their language it was embedded. The person who they say is aqil, possessing intellect, is not necessarily somebody smart. It's actually someone who can think after putting their emotions under control. Now, those emotions could be anger, it could be lust, it could be greed, it could be jealousy, it could be any of these things. And think about it. If you're too angry, you can't think straight. If you're too jealous, you can't think straight. If you're too happy, you can't think straight. You have to put your emotions in check, and then you can think clearly. So aql in and of itself is something that signifies that you put your emotions, your temptations, your desires, your stuff, that stuff, you put it aside a little bit and think neutrally. You know, think clearly. Let clear your head. The thing of it is, we're living in a time specific, especially, in which these ayat are all around us, but we've become almost completely blind to them. Because our minds are filled with, you know, all this stuff that we want. And we've become a society where when you want something, it's accessible to you instantaneously. You know, imagine back in the day, somebody wanted to entertain themselves, right? They wanted to listen to a story. They didn't have movies back then, right, in the Arab desert. They wanted to listen to a story. So they have to wait till that trader that goes around and collects stories from all over where he travels, he's going to come back in a couple of months and he's going to get all the people together. He's going to tell them a story. This is going to be the night out on the movies for them, right? It wasn't on demand. It wasn't like, I'm in the mood for a song. So they just press a button and it starts playing. What has happened with us? Anything you want, you can get it when you want. You don't even have to wait to go home and turn the TV on. Now it's on your mobile device, right? Human beings have always had desires, but now we're living in a time where those desires are being met almost instantaneously. So when something is met instantaneously, then you kind of become unsatisfied with it. You want more and you want more. So we become kind of addicted to more and more and more. We can never have enough. So you can have a person who can't let go of their phone. They can't let go of their Angry Birds or whatever, right? Even when they're driving, they're still like knocking down buildings, right? Because they can't let go. They're immersed in it. So even though they're driving and they see the sun coming down is something Allah swears by, the sky turning red. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. It's happening right in front of them, but they don't get anything out of it. Because they're too lost inside their desire. They can't think clearly, you know? Allah says these are ayat, but these are for people who can think clearly. And interestingly enough, the pure intellect in Arabic is called lub, something that came up in this surah also, and it will come actually in more detail in Al Imran in the next surah. Lub, as defined by Imam Raghib al Isfahani, is aqlun salih khalisun min ash-shawa'ib, pure intellect, a pure mind free from vanities, meaning a mind that is not preoccupied with useless thoughts. That's real aql. A mind that is not preoccupied with useless thoughts. I mean, just think about how many kinds of different useless thoughts are invading our head. You know? We know so many useless things. We know so many useless things. We read so many useless things. We watch so many useless things. We know so many useless sports statistics. We know so many useless, like, names of actors and movies and TV shows and seasons and episodes. And, oh my God, our head is filled with garbage, with garbage. This is not a mind that is clear enough to really appreciate what is around it. You know? This is what Allah describes. You know, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they don't see with them. Everybody can see the sun going down, but not everybody will see the ayah of Allah. They won't see it as a reminder. SubhanAllah. So he makes this really powerful declaration that, you know, the people of the book were hiding the revelation, even then, humanity was equipped with the intellect that if they used it properly, that would have led them to guidance anyway. But this was only for those who used their intellect. Now the last tangent I'll share with you in Surah Al-Mulk, something incredible. On the Day of Judgment, the people are being hauled into hellfire. And they say, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If we had only listened, you're so immersed in entertaining yourself and your own little world, so even when you listen, you're not really listening. How many times do you find people even sitting in a khutbah, updating their Facebook status? They're not listening. They're sitting there, but they're not listening. And if they're not listening, then the next phase is even more impossible, thinking. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Had we only listened, had we only thought about it, we would not have been from people of the hellfire. We would not have been from them. SubhanAllah. So this is, you know, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. And once a person comes to this realization, if now imagine on the positive side, On the positive side, somebody actually does clean their mind. They think about the bigger things in life. They think about the magnificent creation of Allah. Then they realize that everything Allah created has a purpose. How can it be that I don't have a purpose? I must have a purpose too. And if Allah has created all of these things and He's beautified them and He's created me, and Allah boasts in the Quran, He created the human being in the best possible form, you become in love with Allah Azza wa Jal because how honored He's made you and me as a creation. You develop a love for Him. After this clear thought process is something intellectual. But that conclusion leads you to love. It makes you love Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the next ayah describes this. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Among the people you'll find, shockingly you'll find people that set up competitors right next to Allah, besides Allah. Loving them like they should be loving Allah. Loving competitors like they should be loving Allah. What in the world does that mean, loving competitors? It's not just people shirk. There's some ulama commented a very scary commentary actually. Shirkun fil hub, shirk in love. In other words, Allah deserves to be loved more than anything else. And everything else that we love in dunya should submit to the love of Allah. But when it doesn't, when our love of other stuff starts competing with the love of Allah, that's what this ayah is talking about. That's because you haven't really clearly thought about who Allah is. Someone who realizes, who thinks about who Allah is, will have no choice but to love Him. Someone who hasn't given it serious thought will find other things to love. And they'll love other things the way they should be loving Allah. But then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have iman, those who've come to the faith, who use their intellect to come to the right conclusion, that conclusion is iman. They are intense in terms of their love for Allah. They're strong, they're severe, intense, powerful in their shiddah, in their love for Allah. SubhanAllah, very powerful statement. Their love for Allah becomes strong. You know, on the one hand, and this is also a really interesting dilemma in Western society, we separate intellectual pursuit from emotional pursuit. In other words, somebody can understand something intellectually, but they're still not emotionally attached to it at all. They have no emotional attachment to it. For example, you can have somebody who studies Islam even in Western academia, even a Muslim, can study it for years and years and years and not love it at all. They'll know a lot about it, but not love it. The believer, Allah is telling us, the more he understands his deen, the more what happens naturally with him. The more he loves it. The more he becomes in love with his deen, in love directly with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a direct consequence. So our intellectual growth is actually directly tied to our emotional attachment. And if you find yourself, and this is a serious warning for myself and others, students of knowledge, if you find yourself growing intellectually but not in your love for Allah, then maybe you're not really learning. Maybe there's something seriously wrong. You know? Because we're supposed to be becoming emotionally more and more attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And so on the other hand, the wrongdoers, and we'll conclude with that, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Had only those who have done wrong. In this ayah, ma huwa dhulm fi hadhihi al-ayah. What's the wrongdoing in this ayah? The wrongdoing in this ayah is loving the wrong things. Al-dhulm wad'u shayhi fi ghayri mahallihi, fi ghayri makanihi. The wrongdoing in Arabic is put something where it doesn't belong. This ayah is about putting your love where it doesn't belong. Now Allah says, those who did wrong, meaning who those who ended up loving the wrong stuff in this world, how will it look when they're looking straight at the punishment? إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ. And then they realize, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. That power belongs to Allah altogether. You know, before that, in dunya, when they were invited towards Allah, and they were reminded of Allah's power was not acting against them, so they had no respect for it. You know, like a criminal who doesn't get caught by the cops has no respect for the cops. But the moment they're close to getting caught, then they're, oh my God, what have I been doing? Who have I been messing with? Right? Now they get caught and they realize they were dealing with a very mighty power. That power that they should have loved, they violated his rights so much that now they get to taste his might. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. And that Allah is very intense in taking punishment. I wanted to cover a little bit more inshallah ta'ala and we'll conclude one more ayah. And this ayah will open up the subject of the next week's dars. It's really the next topic. And this next topic is so beautifully tied to what we just did. A person reaches the conclusion that this deen is the truth. That does not mean that their loved ones, their society, their neighbors, their wife, their husband, their children, their elders, doesn't mean that everybody else also came to that conclusion. They came to that conclusion. They developed a new love, but that does not mean that love is automatically transferred to everybody else in the household. Doesn't mean that. So you know what happens when someone turns towards the deen? They get a conflict inside the house. They get conflict inside the society. Because they're no longer going the way everybody else is going. And when they try to invite people to think, I thought about it and I've reached this conclusion. I'm not forcing it on you. I just want you to think. That's all I want you to do. You know what people usually do? I don't need to think. The way we've been doing things all these years, what are you saying, it's wrong? You're saying our tradition, our culture, our society is wrong? Who are you to insult our elders like that? This is the way we do things. This is not just something the mushrikun used to say. You've heard that before, right? Mushrikun used to say, we will only follow what our forefathers followed. That's what they used to say. Today the Muslim is saying this. The Muslim is being called to Islam today by his own family member. The vast majority of the family is not on the deen. Somebody starts taking the deen seriously and he turns to his mother, his father, his cousin, his brother, and he says, you know, you just think about it. We have to worry about our akhirah. We shouldn't do the party like this. It's kind of haram. Actually, it's really haram, the Eid party that we're putting together. We shouldn't be selling liquor. We shouldn't be doing this. The family member gets disturbed. We should get out of this, like, you know, illegitimate financial transaction. We should get out of this stuff. It's not good for us. And the family will turn around and say, what, your uncle did it? Is he going to hell? Your cousin did it? Oh, they're going to hell too? You're the only one going to Jannah. How we're all going to hell? They'll start turning at you and just yelling and screaming. And now, so they say, well, they're doing it, we can do it too. Well, it's not like they're kafir, they did it, so we can do it too. So you justify your wrongdoing based on what somebody else is doing. You say, no, we should have a modest wedding ceremony. We shouldn't go overboard. We shouldn't bury ourselves in credit card debt to have this wedding party. You know, we shouldn't put the newlywed husband and, you know, wife in financial troubles just because of one night of, like, overly extravagant food, most of which is going to get thrown away anyway. We shouldn't do that. And they say, well, your cousin did it this way. What about them? They did it that way. How are we going to show our face in the community? We have to keep up. We have to keep up with, you know, in English we say, keeping up with the Joneses. In Urdu, it's like keeping up with the Chaudhrys, right? So the Qureshi sahab, whatever, right? If there are any Chaudhrys in the audience, sorry. But you know, that's what it becomes. Now those same people, in dunya, they used to justify their behavior saying, we got to keep up with society. Those same people are now, and they refuse to think for that reason, right? Now what happens to them on Judgment Day? إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. What an amazing statement. When those who used to be followed, the trendsetters, those who used to be followed, will cut themselves off from the people who used to follow them. They say, well, you did that for me? I don't want nothing to do with you. Don't talk to me. I got nothing to do with you. On Judgment Day, you did everything for them. You made all of your decisions just to be like them. And on Judgment Day, they're cutting themselves off from you. The same thing happens with all these, you know, in society, trendsetters nowadays are musicians, actors, athletes, popular kids in school that other kids want to dress like and look like. These are all alladhina tubi'u, people that are followed, people that have a following, you know. In your social circle, people that are wealthier and you want to be like them. People want to, you know, kids that dress like the rapper and talk like him and act like him. Kids like dress like the goth band and talk like them. These are all alladhina tubi'u. And they have millions of followers, don't they? Millions of followers. And those millions of fans, those Justin Bieber fans in dunya that are crying when they see him, they're also crying on Judgment Day, why did I follow you? You know? And then on that day, those who are followed say, we have nothing. Well, I didn't force this on you. I got nothing to do with you. I don't want to deal with your problems. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا وَرَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ. And both of those groups, everybody will be looking at the punishment. The followers and the followed, the leaders. Everybody looking at the punishment. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. And all of the relationships that used to exist, all of the means that used to exist before, all chopped away. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا. And the people who used to follow them, who were fans, who just did this without thinking, those people, they're going to say, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّا فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. If we only had a chance. Ek aur bari bas. Karra. Give me another chance. One more shot. then we will cut ourselves off from these guys just like they're cutting themselves off from us now. We would want nothing to do with them. We'd hate on them just like they're hating on us now. كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. That is how Allah shows them their deeds, so they can regret on them and regret on them and regret on them. Regret, حَسَرَات is jama', right? So they're like, why did I follow them? Then they say again, why did I follow them? Then they say again, why did I follow them? Like they're drowned in that regret. They don't just say it once. You ever see someone who makes a bad decision and they keep saying it? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? They can't let it go. Every conversation you have with them, they bring it up again. This is حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is what they're saying on Judgment Day. Why did I do this? Why did I follow these guys? Why didn't I think for myself? Why did I do this? And then Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Enjoy your regret. Now it doesn't help you. They're not going to be coming out of the fire. These people are not going to be coming out of the fire at all. اللهم لا تجعلنا منهم. So on the one hand, there's the road to thinking. Thinking leads to the right kind of love. And if you don't think, you'll end up in the wrong kind of love, following the wrong kind of people. And that will be the creation of regret on Judgment Day. So inshallah ta'ala, we appreciate the cohesion of these beautiful ayat and the arguments therein. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.